Welcome back to the program. I'm Zev Brennan. It's been quite a while, but we're very pleased to have with us once again tonight Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld, the spiritual leader of Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills. He's Vice President of Coalition for Jewish Values, Pinnacle Coordinator for Kosher Division of the Orthodox Union. So Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld, welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure once again, Zev. Always a pleasure to be on the air with you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I know that you do a lot of innovative things, and one of the things that you're speaking out, and I think you have a whole panel, I thank Rabbi Stuart Verstandig for putting it together and putting us in touch for tonight, is that the Shavuos night you are having a panel on anti-Semitism, because while we're all aware anti-Semitism is rampant and growing, but I don't think we're really paying enough attention to it. Is that correct, Rabbi Schoenfeld?
That is correct, and there's good news and there's bad news. The problem is that the bad news is growing, but there's good news as well. And this forum that we're putting together will actually be in the second evening of Shavuos between Mincha and Maariv. But it's a topic obviously we've become increasingly sensitive to, and for good reason.
No, a very good reason. We find the anti-Semitic incidents are increasing. Including in New York and around the nation and really worldwide.
Yes, some of it's subtle with the anti-BDS. In fact, right here in Flushing Meadow Park in Queens, there are the posters and benches that are constantly graffitied with boycott, divest, and sanction. And we have some active people here who cover them up, get the police involved, but then it comes right back. It's like a weed that hasn't been pulled from the roots. So that's in the subtle ways, but obviously we're seeing this much more vocally expressed. What happened in Poway just a couple of weeks ago is obvious. What happened in Pittsburgh a couple of months ago is obvious. And then what's happening in the streets of Crown Heights and in Williamsburg and Borough Park is very, very frightening, because these punks go around and beat up Jews and hit them from the back with impunity. And, of course, most concerning, that's probably why most Jews are now on heightened alert, is because of the anti-Semitism that we're witnessing in Congress, and there too, we're very disappointed in the lack of reaction from members in Congress that we thought would come to rally behind us, especially the Jewish politicians. So it gives us great pause.
Well, I mean, the Democratic Party doesn't want to censure its own. I keep on saying this on the air, but about a year or so ago, Upper Manhattan, you had a candidate ran on a platform, the Democratic Party, that Jews are greedy landlords. And I'm still waiting for the mayor, for the governor, for the top leadership of the Democratic Party in New York to say there's no room for this in the Democratic Party. So he got matching funds. Obviously, he lost. I mean, thank God. But the mere fact that he ran once, I even think he ran twice, on such a platform in New York, and nobody said boo.
No one says boo.
Very few people said boo.
But that's true. And you say that they don't want to censure their own. Yet the Republicans had no problem censuring one of their own a couple of months ago when he made a much more milder statement against the black community. And he was immediately censured, demoted from his positions in the Republican Congress. And here you have Tlaib and you have Ilhan Omar being overtly anti-Semitic, and it's a schweig. Everybody's quiet, and our Jewish representatives who are busy fighting Trump and trying to impeach him for some reason or other have nothing to say about their own brethren. It's not to be believed. And furthermore, we just saw the Reform Jewish movement at some gathering that they just had. Their guest speaker was Al Sharpton, and our Coalition of Jewish Values did he'd come out forcefully against it, but Al Sharpton was an outspoken racist, anti-Semite, as we saw in the Crown Heights affair not too long ago, and in Harlem not too many years ago with the dry cleaners. And yet he goes on with impunity.
Well, I'm forgive me. I'm going to probably say something that's going to surprise you. I've interviewed Al Sharpton twice, and while he said very statements that are, you can say, anti-Semitic or incendiary, but I don't believe he's an anti-Semite. And basically, I think he went with the way the wind blew. He certainly dealt with he thought was good for him. But if you noticed, and since we sat down with him, you haven't had an anti-Semitic statement for him in dozens of years. So
okay, let's even say that's true. Maybe you can, he's still a very divisive figure. But I want to ask you, why is it that Megyn Kelly, she said something about blackface in a half-hearted joke, and she lost her illustrious career overnight? There's no forgiveness, no apologies, no making good, no second chance. You're gone. And yet, when it comes to somebody like him and other notables who have made racist and anti-Semitic remarks, are allowed to apologize, including celebrities, and then their career just move on.
Well, like Mel Gibson is somebody which is troubling because he and his father, we broke the exclusive of his father, who's a Holocaust denier and has terrible things to say about Jews. Mel Gibson feeds from that growing up in that household, and he's not better. But I think in the case of the representative today, where you have Omar and you have Tlaib, you have a situation where they're continuing doing their apology is not even an apology. And the thing is, you can't get them out of office. The voters have to do that, and there should be money should go into fielding candidates to oppose them in the future. But what I would like to see done is a campaign not to say, let's, you know, the Democratic Party throw them out of office. They can't do it. They one of them, Omar, should not be sitting on a House Foreign Affairs Committee.
That's exactly right. And there was this rally to that effect. I'm not sure if you were there. I couldn't make it myself. Well, I try to go to these rallies, which was put together by Jeff Wiesenfeld, I think it was a week ago today. Today's Monday, a week ago, Midtown Manhattan calling for the removal of Ilhan Omar from her committees. And she's in the Foreign Relations Committee. She walks into the door of Congress, and she's immediately catapulted to the Foreign Relations Committee. And Nancy Pelosi just plays dead. Senator Schumer plays dead. Jerry Nadler plays dead. He refused even to give a message, a written message, to be read at that rally. He said, I'm too busy now. I know somebody spoke to him directly. So I'm too busy. I have to go to a meeting now. I'm sorry. I have no time to issue statements. But he has plenty of time to get involved in this attempt to impeach the president. But he has no time to come to the aid of his own brethren. I don't get that. And it's very, very troubling, very sad that this is happening.
Well, I mean, what I believe is going on is that the Democratic Party wants to show unity, even if it means having and not censoring somebody who is making anti-Israel, anti-Jewish statements in the name of Democratic unity. It's wrong. And somebody, these two, there's three individuals. Let's not forget our own AOC in New York. They should be censored for what they're saying. And so far, not. And they know how to play the game where you say something and you say it's out of context. And I didn't mean this and I meant that. It's a whole song and dance. And they love the publicity from doing it. So they're going to keep on going, doing it, because they like the fact that they, in fact, it probably helps them with some of their constituency. Let's be honest.
No question about it. They become heroic in the eyes of their constituency. So we think that, oh, we're going to curse them and really slam them, and that the constituents will wake up. That's what put them in the office in the first place. They like this red meat, and even if it's anti-Semitic attitude. And, you know, it's quite disturbing. And, you know, when they was this vote in Congress, what is about it, over a month ago, to condemn anti-Semitism, so the Democrats refused to do that. Instead, they watered down to condemn all forms of hatred and bigotry, including Islamophobia. So it took no genius to realize that what that means is any time you're going to react to something that a Muslim says, you're immediately going to be accused of Islamophobia. And that's exactly what happened. As soon as people started reacting to Omar and to Tlaib, they were said, you're just Islamophobic. President Trump has been accused of being Islamophobic by some of those Democrats that are running for office now, running for president now. And it was used as a weapon, if anything, not to protect the Jews, but against the Jews. So, and this is all democratic inspired. It's not the party of your mother, your grandmother, and my mother, and my grandmother. It's just not the same party. And we have to let them know that quite clearly. No efforts are being made now to sort of hold rallies in certain strategic areas. Let's hope that they, you know, with the nerve centers of the Democrats, let's hope it's all true. I'm not saying the Republicans are perfect or far from it. Some of them themselves may be anti-Semitic. But right now our focus has to be, we're the main trouble spots.
But is it just the Democrats? It's more the anti-Semitism you have. In fact, I think, according to the research, most of the anti-Semitism comes from the right. And you have, yes, the Islamists and the leftists and this terrible anti-Semitism. But if you look at the majority of incidents, including the shootings, they're coming from the right and the extreme right.
Yes, no question that it's true. The real violent anti-Semitism is coming from the right. But what's giving them the tailwind is that which is coming from the left, that they see there's acceptance on the college campuses. There's acceptance for anti-Israel, for BDS. There's acceptance in the Congress. These people are getting a tailwind from that. Where we're seeing, hey, you know what? Anti-Semitism is fashionable. So we'll do it in our way with guns and assaults. It's very true what you're saying. But we don't see the ADL, for example, as vociferously coming out against the hatred from the left as they do from the right. And we're trapped in between both extremes, no question about that. We always have been. But we have this, like, snippet at the head and at the tail. And I don't see us as an organized community doing just that. And we have great, I will say, you know, we have the established organizations, Jewish organizations, they have huge resources. They've been around for decades, if not over 100 years, and they have talent, and they have money, and they don't do a whole lot to combat this. And yet, take a look, the Muslim community, to their credit, just spread the word, or they get on Facebook, or they just tell each other, and they mobilize in a second without any formal organizations. And it's shameful. It's just,
well, in fairness to the ADL, they do publish reports about anti-Semitism. They had a press conference, and they have elected officials coming out denouncing it. That you see on a constant basis.
All these organizations issue press releases, and they say, "Not what you're yitzah, so we did our job. Let's move on." That you have to mobilize the troops like they do, make noise.
But let me tell you something, Rabbi Schoenfeld. Jews are too nice. I'll give you an example. About 15, 20 years ago, I was invited, together with some other Jewish leaders, Jewish journalists. We went to visit Channel 13, WNET-TV in New York. At that time, they had a lot of pro-Palestinian programs on TV. So you know what the vice president, who was Jewish, his name was, I think, Don Sussman, if my memory serves me correct. You know what he said to us? He said, "You Jews are too nice. We have, for example, programming that the gay community, for example, finds offensive. We say we don't give in to pressure. They have a protest. Guess what? We give in, but officially we don't. You guys are so nice, you know." So they come in, they have a nice, you know, meeting, you go out, and that's it. But if you had demonstrations and protests and threats of boycotts, etc., you'd find a change. And this is true of the New York Times, and this is true of anti-Semitism. We don't really get too heavily invested and involved to punish those that, like, for example, the New York Times, if they're really continually going ahead and vilifying Israel, for example, and then with the anti-Semitic cartoon is just, you know, one case of many. It goes on almost a daily basis. We should say, okay, we should have protests. We should say, you know, if you're going to continue, we're going to stop buying the paper. More importantly, stop patronizing the sponsors. If that really was to be done, I think you'd see a sea of change at the New York Times and other vehicles too.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important for us, like we did with Soviet Jewry. Look what it did. The Soviet Jewry eventually, these Jews, I don't know, it's hard to assign the percentages of the effect, but students were mobilized in the days when I grew up in high school, the 1960s, 70s, student struggle with Soviet Jewry, and massive rallies were held in Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza, hundreds of thousands of Jews. That doesn't happen anymore. It's very sad. And, you know, I'm not sure if you will remember this, Zev, I'm dating myself, but years ago, Chase Manhattan, I would say somewhere in the mid to late 1960s, Chase Manhattan, I forget what it is, what they did, but they issued something. They took a very anti-Semitic policy. Their logo at the time, their motto at the time was, "You have a friend at Chase Manhattan." Well, there was a little table lamp. It was called Tensor, T-E-N-S-O-R, Tensor, the first very intense, high-intensity light bulb to be put by your bedside. A Jewish fellow owned it. I don't remember his name. But he took out a full-page ad in the New York Times, and maybe more than once, and it says, "Tensor no longer has a friend at Chase Manhattan." And because of the statement at Chase Manhattan issue, the effect was immediate. Because Tensor was a very high it was a popular item at the time, and it was the effects were immediate. they couldn't believe what they're seeing. And he went high profile, and we're not doing that. And I think something like that has to be done again. They went high. The only one who I would say to does something like that, but people view him as, he's an extremist, he's a nut, he's a kook, is Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. And like him or don't like him, you turn on or turn off by him, but he does get those very important ads out, sometimes overboard, granted, but he does get out those the statements that have to be made on occasion. But we need more people like that.
No, it's important to get the message out. So you have a forum, Second Night Shavuos. Tell us who's going to be on the panel discussion that Rabbi Stuart Verstandig is putting together.
Well, you know, we use local talent, and one of our speakers, we want to cover it from three different angles, from the political arena, social/media arena, and from the college campus arena. So on the political arena, we'll be having David Steinberg. He is the Northeast coordinator, I guess. He has a different title, but he is the Northeast coordinator for NORPAC.
And he's going to help put together their very successful mission, one of the coordinators of the mission to Washington.
He's one of the major coordinators for the mission to Washington. I had the privilege of going there for many years in a row, and as I was his last time. And David is of the impression it's not as bad as you think, and he may be right. And we ourselves, my group, met with three Republicans, freshmen, and they were terrific. But then the very refreshing was to see that we had a congresswoman from the West Coast, from Los Angeles area. Her name is Torres, and she was also very, very pro all the anti-BDS legislation, type of anti-Israel legislation. She fought for that legislation to defeat these things, and it was very nice to see that we have that. So we do have probably more friends than we realize, and more friends in the Democratic Party that we realize, and that's very good to know. So David is going to be presenting his perspective on what's doing in the national political arena, and I know he has a bit of an upbeat outlook, and that's good. Then the second speaker is Cynthia Zaliski. She's the executive director of the Queens Jewish Community Council. She writes regularly for our local paper herself. She has a keen eye on what's doing with anti-Semitism. And we also would like to see, she's involved with the media, too. The media's bent on issues relating to anti-Semitism. And you mentioned the Times before. We got a lot of problems in the media. And then finally, a young lady, and her name is Brocha Ehrlich, and she is a college student, a engineering student in the City University, and she's going to be reporting on what she finds there. It's not the most rosy picture in the world, what's doing on the college campuses. Right here in New York City, not talking about Oklahoma, right here in New York City.
Listen, NYU, to their shame. And their quotas at Columbia and Barnum, and we've been trying reaching them, and they don't want to give us statistics. They claim they don't keep numbers of religion, who's Jewish, who's not, but in the name of diversity, they're trying to diversify and have less people from New York, a code word for Jews. They're hiding from it. NYU also, they had a speaker who promoted, who promotes terrorism, and they have also a big, big issue at NYU, and they're stonewalling.
Well, you saw what happened with Chelsea, poor Chelsea Clinton. She came out critical of Ilhan Omar. And they blasted her for being Islamophobic, and she, poor thing, had to recoil and apologize. It was pathetic to watch that. But this is what's going on in the universities and in Brooklyn University right here. Thank God where I live in Queens College, it's a harmonious relationship. But we got hot spots all over the place in the city and way beyond, of course.
Well, 30 seconds. We have running out of time. Just to shift for a moment, any fallout from the whole thing with Young Israel by the dinner where some rabbis upset that the Young Israel is too Trump-oriented, too right-wing, too Republican, that they should be spending more on religious issues as opposed to political ones?
Well, obviously, yes, it was a serious controversy. I suspect that most of those people who came out, those rabbis who came out against it, the Young Israel were probably left-leaning themselves, and what it did serve was to handcuff. I think not only that, but other organizations. Gee, if we're going to be too outspoken, we're going to have rabbis protesting against us. I don't think it was a good thing, not to go so public anyway. But somebody pointed out very interestingly, the Reform just had their major gathering. Again, I don't remember where, And they very clearly adopt the Democratic platform in every way possible. So they have no problem clearly aligning themselves with the left and the leftist platform, whereas a Orthodox organization that aligns itself with the right with the president gets lambasted. So, you know,
Shouldn't a religious organization get involved in politics? Should it stick to shula issues as opposed to right or left?
Well, I don't know that they should be so overtly political, frankly. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm a very big Trump supporter. But on the other hand, I will agree that an organization should be supportive of the president. I don't know that it should be that obvious, and it should be just a political platform for people to express their political views. I think that an organization as Young Israel and the others is a Torah-based organization. It should be outspoken on the issues of the day. It should be supportive of any platform that's pro-Israel and critical of any platform or party that's not. But I think it has to be tempered. I would agree with that.
Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld, unfortunately out of time. Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld is the spiritual leader of Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills, Vice President of the Coalition for Jewish Values, been a coordinator for Kashrus for the Orthodox Union. Thank you for being with us. And I urge everybody who's around to go to the anti-Semitism forum at the second night of Shavuos at Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Zev. Always a pleasure.
And we're going to be right back. Don't go away. Stay tuned.